Church, Why Bother? Part 2, entitled Looking Up. So, like last week, let's start with Scripture. First, Psalm 121, entitled A Pilgrim Song. I look up to the mountains. Does my strength come from mountains? No, my strength comes from God, who made heaven and earth and mountains. He won't let you stumble. Your guardian God won't fall asleep. Not on your life. God's your guardian, right at your side. He guards you when you leave and when you return. He guards you now. He guards you always. And from John's 4th chapter, verses 23 through 24. It's who you are and the way you live that count before God. Your worship must engage your spirit in the pursuit of truth. That's the kind of people God is looking out for, those who are simply and honestly themselves before Him in their worship. God is sheer being itself, spirit. Those who worship Him must do it out of their very being, their spirits, their true selves, in adoration. And also, like last week, let's seek a definition. This week, the word worship. Its Hebrew translation from the Old Testament means to bow down, to prostrate oneself, a posture indicating reverence to the Lord or to serve. In the New Testament, worship still means to serve, but in the Greek it also translates with piety. One big difference in practice from Old Testament to New Testament is the riddance of sacrifice, as Christians believe that Jesus replaced the multitude of sacrificial practices in the one act as a sacrificial lamb. Also, the idea of God being housed in a special place, aka the temple, was shifted drastically. Instead of a place, it is the people, living temples in which the Holy Spirit dwells. The rituals of the BCE worship, primarily external, became internal in the common era. Yet there is the remaining triad, mikveh, aka baptism, to mark entrance into the fellowship of believers, or a new beginning. Passover-style remembrances, aka communion, our deliverance from bondage of sin, commemorating Christ's death in joyous anticipation of His return. And the laying of hands, to mark the receipt of spiritual gifts or a special commissioning of a fellowship. So what is worship? Is it an hour on Sunday? It can be, and it can be you standing on the mountaintop singing like Maria von Trapp, if you're sincere. So why this gathering? Why bother? Let's turn to our bud Philip Yancey and his book, Church, Why Bother, for some direction. Now, last week we reviewed the stats of the nuns on the rise and learned that Yancey himself walked away from ecclesia or gatherings for some time. After noticing a loss in his spirit and life, as he described it, his faith faded, a commitment to others slipped away, and the crusty shell of lovelessness grew over him. Something needed to change to get him back, though, and that something was his attitude, the lenses he popped in his spectacles. Yancey said he truly decided to bother with church when he started to look up, look around, look outward, and look inward. Believing that this was a way of seeing can transform one's understanding of what church was meant to be. Once we have a vision of the church, Yancey says, as participants, we can help it become the kind of place God intended. Hey, wait a minute then. Wait 1 minute. You're telling me it's not up to the musicians and the preacher woman and the deacons to make the show rock? Well, actually, yeah. It is, as well as all of its participants. I know that you've heard this before, though nobody really likes to hear it. Worship really isn't about you and your preferences. I know, disappointing. But it's about giving a gift of praise and consideration and reverence to God, the audience of one. We've flip-flopped it quite a bit, though, haven't we? I mean, can you imagine walking into a restaurant, sitting down to be served? You know, the guests, the paying customer, and then the chef and the staff coming out and taking a seat and looking at you saying, okay, impress me. Chop, chop, little consumer. It's all about me today. Start cooking. And then leaving in a huff saying, I'm just not being fed here. Certainly church, made up of people, those living temples, should offer a meaningful expression or opportunity for those gathered. The act of worship, especially corporate worship, is not about pleasing the living temples. Corporate worship really is only a conduit for the collective to present a praise-filled and prayerful offering to, well, God. Think of it this way. Many streams feed the river and many rivers feed the ocean, and there is power in that body of water. It's deep and it's mysterious, which in turn continues to feed the smallest stream. So what are we waiting for? Let's jump in by looking up, because we must begin with God. Now, Yancey admits that he used to approach church with a spirit of discriminating consumer, viewing the worship service as a performance. You know, feed me, Seymour. Soren Kierkegaard, the Danish theologian known for taking that leap of faith, also spoke of how much we most consider church like a theater. I mean, come on, look around. Sometimes all we're missing is a popcorn. Anyway, we sit as the audience, attentively watching the actor or actress on stage. If we are mildly amused, we may even clap. Church and worship, Kierkegaard says, needs to be the opposite of that, with God as the audience, and the worship leaders really should only be considered ushers or prompters. You see, what matters most, he says, is what is happening in the heart of the congregation when leaving the show. Not asking, what did I get out of it, but was God pleased with what happened not only in there, but in here, gesturing to his heart? It makes me think of my first really big praise experience. It was years ago. And remember, my home church was all about hymns. We held hymnals the whole time on the ready for the next formatted liturgical expression. I really like that, by the way. But my first introduction to praise music was in a darkened hall after Paul and I were first married. And we left midway through, and Morgan, who I talked about a couple weeks ago, was 5 at the time, and she asked fearfully, "Mommy, why are there drums in that church?" Fast forward to my call to my last church, where the praise service was booming and folks were filing in. I was uncomfortable for some time, saying, "The only time you're going to see me raise my hand in church is if I have a question." Things changed. No, I changed. As I opened up to something different than I was used to, and was even asked to join the praise team, I was a backup vocalist for some time. I liked it in the background. I often took issue with folks who seemed to like the attention so much standing upright in the center, especially some of those worship leaders. But then there were others. I could tell there was something different about them. I finally put my finger on it when I took my youth praise band to the touring Passion Worship right over there at Charlottesville High School. The worship leader was Chris Tomlin. Maybe some of you have heard of him. He was and still is one of the most successful Christian songwriters of the day. I want to tell you, he was amazing, not because of the songs, but because of how he disappeared. Though he stood right in the center of the stage, he disappeared as he worshiped God and redirected our attention from the stage to the heavens. I raised my hands, I bowed my head and sang and cried and worshiped in a way that is hard to capture in the retelling. Now I've worshiped God in silence, in TSA experiences, sitting alone in darkened cathedrals. I've worshiped in a Pentecostal country church in the heart of Cuba, not knowing or understanding a single word other than Gloria Jesu, Aleluya Señor, Amen. It is when I've allowed my heart to be open, my guard down, and inner critic is silenced, that I worship in spirit and truth and am able to truly focus on the wonder and power of the One. You see, when we let go of our constraints, our requirements, and consider worshiping God in spirit and truth, the mechanism should not matter, if sincere. Yancey admits he worshiped as a snob for quite a while, but he changed his attitude, and it helped him cope with what he considers the talent deficit offered and encountered in churches. The ultimate truth sunk in that God, not the congregation, is the audience who matters most. Church, Yancey says, exists not to provide entertainment, the best trappings and visuals, even to encourage vulnerability and build self-esteem, not even brace yourself to feed your soul, but to worship God. And if it fails at that, it fails. One more story. And it's not to stir up a dialogue about patriotism or politics. Where I once served was filled with World War II vets, even a still-living World War I vet. Vietnam and Desert Storm veterans. And 9/11 had happened. Anyway, there were men and women who'd served in a variety of ways. So you won't be surprised that the American flag found a place of prominence. But here was the rub. There were others sensitive to its presence in a negative way, feeling the flag detracted from the focus on, well, I don't know, God. So as to respect the vets and their families, yet to redirect our attention on, well, God, we moved the flags, even the Christian flag, to the foyer versus the front of the sanctuary. I tell you what, all hell broke loose. I mean it. I remember in one heated discussion, a tearful member said in tears, "If the flags are not in the sanctuary. I just can't worship. To which I replied, you know, I have and can worship with or without the flag present. I don't really focus on the flag. But when I hear someone say they can't worship without the flag, well, we just may have a false God problem on our hands. Flags, hymns, praise songs, silence, lengthy prayers, standing, sitting, videos, where the pulpit is or isn't, floral arrangements, wine or grape juice, colored bulletins, King James or NIV, even the cross hanging up front in this church. When it becomes all about all of this, to ensure the inspiration of this, our heart, it is most not definitely not about this, our God. Let us prayerfully ponder that for a moment or two as we listen to the words inspired by the psalmist who writes, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord, our Maker, for He is our God, and we are the people of His pasture and the sheep of His hand. Oh, that today you would listen to His voice. Amen.